Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that we don't have to hold on to you, but you hold on to us. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that we can fall upon in times of trouble. Lord, what a joyous time to be in the house this morning with brothers and sisters to worship a living God. And yet you're a God that is so personal that you indwell our hearts and our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the security, the assurance of your presence in our lives. So Lord, help us this week to live for you. Help us, Lord, to live righteous before you through your power and your strength. Again, we thank you. We thank you for your presence during the hard times of life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Jesus was born, when he was a little child, it was some hard times. It was some terrible times happening in Judea when Jesus was a little child. We're going to read about some of those times in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. We're looking at three kings. These are not the three kings in the nativity scene. Okay? By the way, I don't know their names. There's a song that has their names, but, you know, that's not in the Bible. I'm talking about the three kings that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 2. Now, I'm not talking about the wise men. Okay? Three kings. And they represent, two of them represent so much to you and I in our daily life, then one of them, of course, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's read about them this morning in Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You see, when King Herod became troubled, everyone got worried, because he murdered people. And he was even called Herod the Great. You know why they called him Herod the Great? Because he refurbished the temple. He had big building programs, and the temple even became known as Herod's Temple in Jerusalem. So he was called Herod the Great. You know, religion won't save you, folks. Did you know that? Only a personal relationship with the King of Kings can save you. Religion has never saved anybody. He was so religious that he even beautified the temple in Jerusalem. Everyone said, "That's pretty religious." Yeah, that's religious. But he was an evil person. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" You see, this king was a liar also. He was of his father, the devil. Satan is a liar. The Bible calls him a liar. King Herod did not want to worship the Messiah. He felt the Messiah would affect his own little kingdom and his own little personal kingdom that he had built. You see, he wanted to murder the Messiah, the Christ. And it caused much trouble in Jerusalem. Now, we don't know how many of these wise men there were. It could have been 300 of them. Don't know how many. And they found out about the star, these wise men, these magi from the east, because during the Babylonian captivity, there was a very, very wise man. And how can I say that? Because he worshiped the one true and living God, Jehovah. And his name was Daniel. And he was a wise man to three kings in Babylon. And he told them about the star. So they would follow the star. They were in the east and they followed the star to find the Messiah and to worship him. So here they are. They came to Jerusalem thinking that's where the king of the Jews would be born. It may be one of Herod's own sons, but it was not. Because our king came as a humble servant. But King Herod was lying when he said he wanted to worship him also. If he wanted to worship the King of Kings, he would have went with them. But as we read on, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. See, these wise men worship the King of Kings. These wise men, if any time in Scripture, please listen to me. If any time in Scripture that Mary would have been worshipped, and we could have had a foundation, yeah, let's pray to Mary. Let's worship Mary. Let's go to Jesus through Mary. If any time that it would have been recorded in Scripture, it would have been right then. But who did they worship? The child. They worshiped Jesus, not Mary. They didn't go through Mary. They bowed down and they worshiped Him. Him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So, here we see the sovereignty of God guiding these wise men to the Lord Jesus by a star, and they worshiped Him. But King Herod, Herod the Great, was king. He died around 4 B.C. And he was the king. And he wanted to know where this Messiah was. So as we think about this first king that we have come across in Scripture, we know that he murdered and had some of his own sons killed because he was very paranoid that one of his sons would try to take his kingdom from him. So he had some sons murdered and killed. He was very evil. You know what else he did? When he found out, you can read it there in the rest of chapter 2 of Matthew, but when he found out that the wise men did not come through Jerusalem, matter of fact, they had to go out of their way to go around Jerusalem to keep from going through to where Herod was. When he found out, you know what he did? He sent soldiers to Bethlehem and the surrounding region, and had all the male children from 2 years old and under killed. Everyone says, that's wicked. You know the devil had been in charge of that man's life to have 2-year-old boys and under, all of them, Bethlehem and the region, murdered. He didn't want to worship the Messiah. He wanted to get rid of him. He represents that dragon in Revelation that was there with the woman giving birth to a child to devour the child. I had all those male children murdered. So, you see, when the devil is in charge, you know what he does? He's always after the children. You think the Sandy Hook massacre? Everyone tries to bring God in that. We have an enemy also. And if you read Revelation, that dragon, that serpent has power also. He can do miracles. He can do all kinds of things. The dragon, the serpent, that old Satan, Lucifer. He can do it. And he's a murderer. And when the devil is in charge, it's murder. And it's so sad, it breaks my heart to think of Sandy Hook Massacre. That's on our minds. It's on our hearts of our nation that something that horrible could happen. And the same people in the media that is trying to push rash decisions upon our nation will be the same people that'll defend thousands of babies murdered every day in America. Everyone say that's calling good evil and evil good. Thank you, Brother Leo. Thank you. That's what it is. Folks, America needs to return back to the God of the Bible and quit trying to fix things on our own. But when the devil is in control, he's a murderer. He's a murderer. And we kill thousands of babies in America every day through abortion. Thousands. Herod murdered these babies. They were 2 years old and under. That's an evil king. The devil was in charge of his life, and he represents the murderer from the beginning. Now we come to the King of Kings, the one that we celebrate his birth. God came in the flesh. God tabernacled in the flesh. The Godhead, we can see the Godhead when we look at Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us, God dwelling among us. And he is called in Scripture. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, it speaks of him as the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a title that speaks of Jesus in Revelation, the book of Revelation. Now, in the Old Testament times, some of the Persian kings and the Babylonian kings, they would refer to themselves as King of Kings. And that was a title that they took, but the Christianity, those with a personal relationship with the King of Kings, has ascribed this title to the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only King of Kings, but he is Lord of Lords, which takes the covenant name of God and puts the highest, loftiest title to our Messiah, Christ Jesus, as Lord of Lords. He is master of all. Is he master of your life? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is sovereign. He is over everything. And you know what? In Revelation, He's coming back on a white horse as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will judge with righteousness and truth. Even the word, His title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the original language, in the numeral, when it comes to numbers, it is 777, which means perfection. Opposite of incomplete, as the Antichrist, his mark upon his people will be 666. But He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a King that desires a relationship with you and I, in fellowship with you and I. He is not a distant king, some old man upstairs that is looking down at us every now and then and says, do a little better, buddy. You can get through it. No, this King will indwell in your heart and life and will be ever present. He sticks closer than a brother. That's the King we have. And yet He is King over everything. Sovereign over all that there is. The other king mentioned in this chapter 2 of Matthew is Archelaus. You see, Herod died. He died. Now he is in hell waiting for the judgment when the dead will be judged in Revelation, and the dead in hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And he will be judged according to his works. Amen? He's in hell now. Then this other king, one of his sons that survived, one of the sons that he didn't kill himself, becomes ruler. And yet he becomes exiled in 6 B.C., His reign was short-lived, and yet the Herods reigned in that area. It was another Herod, one of the descendants of King Herod, that killed James with the sword in Acts chapter 12. And it pleased the Jews, so he persecuted the church. But that Herod, you know, he was judged just like that, and his guts spilt out. You can read about it in Acts. That's judgment. And this king here, Archelaus, all these were puppet kings, the Herods, by the Caesars in Rome. And his reign was short-lived. He was exiled. And yet, he was still alive. He was a king in the area when our Messiah was a child. And when Joseph and Mary and Jesus came up from Egypt, this king was a ruler. He was just as evil as his father. Just as bad. He had people murdered. So instead of going back to Bethlehem, Joseph was warned by an angel, and they went to Nazareth. And all this was fulfillment of Scripture. Now this king, Archelaus, still a king, and yet our Lord, our Savior, was a child and was still in danger. Let me tell you something. In this life, we have an enemy. There's three things that we must constantly battle. You know what they are? First of all, ourselves. Our own flesh. It's a struggle. It's a spiritual struggle. And we must put on the whole armor of God. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit to fight the flesh, ourselves. And that flesh will rule over your life. That flesh will be king over your life if you will allow it. The other thing we have a struggle with and battle is the world and all the temptations and lures that this world has. But this world is not our home. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through. And yet this world is something that we got to battle and fight because we're children of the King. We're princes and princesses of the King. We are royalty in this world. But we battle this world and all of its allurements. The third thing is our enemy, the devil. He is called the prince of the air, the prince of this world. He's a king of this world. But you know what? The King of Kings is over that little king. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And yet that sucker is a murderer. And he's out to rob us, to steal from us, and to kill us. So that's three things. The flesh, the world, and the devil that we struggle with. Just like this king, still in power, and yet Christ conquered our enemies at the cross of Calvary. Amen? We are more than conquerors through Him, it says in Romans chapter 8. But the war, we have victory, but we're still in a struggle, spiritual battle. And it won't be finished, folks, until you're face to face. Don't tell me you can live without sin right now and you sanctified and all that, and you don't have a struggle now. That's not according to God's Word. Because they bow down and worship Jesus. He's the only one that deserves our worship. He was the only perfect one. But we are to live for Him through His power and His might. And praise God, if we confess our sins and repent of our sins, who is faithful? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The church says amen. I don't know if you could follow this message this morning or not, but there was three kings. An evil one. Another one just as evil, and it represents so much to you and I, to our struggles. But there's a king that I want you to look to today. There's a king that is coming back. He's going to make everything right. Do you know him? Because he wants you to know him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you so much that you're a king that desires our presence in the throne room through prayer and meditation upon your word. You're not distant from us. And we give you praise this morning and adore you. And Lord, even Tuesday, as we celebrate on that day, you coming to earth and you living among us, Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving from our hearts. Lord, may we tend to eternal things right now. Because just like those two Herods, those two kings, they died. And now they're looking to judgment. But Lord, you died and rose again. And you have conquered death, hell, and the grave. So Lord, may our hope and faith be in you today. Lord, please speak to hearts. Amen.